Andrew Barry coming up at 10. Who the hell's in charge of this whole thing? Because this does throw more smoke and more mirrors towards who's ordering code reds and things like that. Like, Keith put up a video of us, you and I, about where we feel about the Browns, and somebody went, no conversation about DePodesta. I go, I don't know what DePodesta does. What a job. He gets paid millions. He lives in San Diego. He answers for nothing. When the Browns are good, somehow he shows up and he gets credit. When the Browns are bad, I'm so mad at all the other things, he rarely gets brought up because he's nowhere to be found.
Didn't he do a press conference last year during the playoff run?
I'm sure he did. And I go, guys, I would love to rant and rave and go after Paul DePodesta. I don't know what he does. What's a chief strategy officer do? So is he the one pulling the strings? I think a lot of us just assume he might be, since he's not the one here, and it would all make sense that a guy who's not really here would be the one pulling the strings. The buck always stops at the owners, but I could say that in every city, in every town, about sport.
Here it is. I think, overall, a broader sense question. Why would Jimmy Haslam, following a three-win season, they went from 11 wins to three. That only happens when you lose a Hall of Famer. That only happens in NBA terms when LeBron leaves, and then the next year you've got what you've got. Like, this is pretty amazing that they had that drop-off. Why would Jimmy not clean house?
Because so many people believe that he's the one who made the decision to go after Deshaun Watson and bury Baker Mayfield. And so they feel like he maybe feels bad about it. So he wants to give them all another chance.
I think, of course, you and I have been hearing differently over the last
umpteen years, but that's a conversation that we'll have until we die.
I think there's a few things here. I think, number one, how would you deem it that they've done this before?
Yeah, I don't think he wants to go through this again.
So that's the first one. The snake bitten feeling that that's not the way to do it. We want stability. We finally do, believe it or not. I know people scoff at this. It feels like they have respect from around the league. Guys have gotten poached out from under them. Look at Minnesota. They feel like the Browns have a professional operation for the first time in forever. I know it's not where any of us wanted to be, but I'm just going through the arguments. Then the next part of this, Kenny, which I think is really, really, really important. I think he trusts those guys. So he's actually looking at it maybe big picture. I think he trusts Paul DePodesta. I think Paul's made him a lot of money.
Man, you keep saying that. You keep saying that, and then you keep saying, but I'll just say that. I'm like, well, what the hell does that mean?
I think, too, with the stadium stuff. I think the stadium deal is about to make him a lot of money, too.
You know what? And that's the thing. You know what? Like, Dave Jenkins, I know to be a man of business, right? Mm-hmm. I trust him with business. Do I want him involved in football decisions? Like, you're telling a chief strategy officer, like, we were hearing these are football decisions.
Yeah.
Well, if you're telling me about stadium stuff, that scares me.
But I understand that. You should. I get all that.
I've known Dave a long time. I've never known him to make football decisions, so I don't accuse him of that.
I kind of have gotten the gist. I've gone over this before, that I think DePodesta's work is kind of done. I think when there are hiring situations, like, I think he's gotten in there, whatever, but I think in laying out the guardrails, laying out their operations, how they go about doing their business, I think Paul has done all that work.
I think a lot of people would hope that he's done, because this is not great. None of this is really good.
No.
You've had an 8-year rebuild. You've made the playoffs twice. You have one win. That's not good.
No.
It's not good enough.
That's
anyway.
Why I said in most situations there would be a house cleaning. I think that...
Would that make fans feel better if they were just like, hey, you know what? Paul DePodesta is no longer... He's moving on to other things. Would that make fans feel any better about things?
It probably would.
Because I tell you what, it might clear up a little bit, because it's going, okay, well, somebody was... You want to find a scapegoat, and then you might find a scapegoat. Because if all of a sudden they were going to go, hey, Paul DePodesta is going to go work on other projects, and we wish him well. All right, well, then that would lead a lot of us, whether true or not, this would all be speculation. Well, he was the one who decided to go against Alex Van Pelt and all the other coaches that were there, got rid of them, brought in these new ones to keep pushing through this Deshaun Watson agenda.
You think it'd be enough for him to just move to a different area of the organization and not be involved.
Once you're involved in football, I think you're always going to be somewhat involved in football.
Because that's what I would worry about. And, mm-hmm. Until you are no longer a member of the Cleveland Browns organization, Paul.
Yeah, you think he would seep back in if things went off the rails?
Yes, because you always go back to people that you are. Guys, this is the reversed Howie Roseman with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes.
The Eagles have gone on to great success since Chip Kelly. The Browns, remember, they pushed Paulie Podesta and everybody aside when they brought in John Dorsey. John Dorsey said, real football players, and damn it, they did things his way. And then once he was gone, because he made the fatal mistake of hiring Freddie Kitchens as the full-time head coach, well, then they came back. This is the reverse of what, like, if Howie Roseman would have went on to no success or very, very, very little, like, that's what this would have been. So that's what we're dealing with. So you go with something that you knew was completely off the rails, and it was when it came back to Freddie Kitchens, and now you go with something that you know is at least something that you trust, but he trusts him. I can't. So do I trust him? Do the fans trust him? Do they have confidence in the situation? No. And I'm telling everybody this morning that, hey, they're probably going to draft a quarterback number two overall just because of this bad situation. They have to look forward in some case. And guys, I'm not making any sort of full-throated endorsement on either one of them. Shador Sanders has played against two real defenses. Ain't looked great against those two real defenses. Cam Ward, hey, I like Cam Ward fairly enough. Cam Ward was supposed to be a day three pick last year. Now Cam Ward's going to be at the top of the draft. Tells you the draft class for quarterbacks ain't that good. And there's the whole thing of him sitting in the second half of the bowl game, which I hope there's a good reason for it, and we'll probably will get a good reason for it, but it ain't a good
look. That seems like it was a year ago.
They are killing him. All last week, they're killing him for it. So I got to think, we got to get going in that direction. And I just think they're going to make a decision on a quarterback. And more than likely, it's going to be another square peg, round hole, bad situation that we might be right back at the top of the draft in 2027, a year after the good draft class. Because now you have a front office that you're getting another year. Are you going to tell them that they're going to deal with, can you convince them that we could sit through another 12 months of bad football to get to the next draft class of quarterbacks where we're a little bit more comfortable in taking one of those guys? Hell no, they're not going to do that. So I think they're going to do something where they sell the ownership and try to sell the fan base on a rookie QB. And you and me as general managers, as fans, and the listeners as general managers, as fans, we never get fired for it. None of us think it's a great idea. We're in a bad spot, and I only see it getting worse. And now, again, who's making the decisions now? They get rid of the coaches. They bring in new coaches. They get rid of those coaches within a year. Is this where Kevin is finally consolidating whatever power that he may have never had before?
Yeah, I mean, what? Van Pelt's probably coming right back, right? Now, he might not be the OC. They might just make him the quarterback's coach. And then,
if Van Pelt does come right back, then maybe that's good for Kevin. That, okay, finally the two-time coach of the year. We got to stop saying that. The two-time coach of the year is actually in charge of the franchise or in the players that he's coaching. Maybe that might make us feel a little bit better. Okay, then why do we waste a year of Myles Garrett in his prime where we didn't see the forest for the trees when every fan out there was saying, why are you making this, that, and the other move after a playoff run? That's even more maddening to a fan base. Again, when it looks to the fans like they have more common sense than the franchise, that's bad.
Well, that's why I wonder.
It feels that way for a lot of fans.
We are going to do a 1,000 hours of shows based on what they're supposed to do at quarterback, whether they do it in the draft or whether they do it in free agency or, you know, the Kirk Cousins situation. With the amount of pressure that is on everybody now following a 3-14 year, do you think they are going to leave that up to a rookie quarterback? I kind of feel like it is why I think they're going to go the Kirk Cousins
route. But if they keep the veterans that they have, you could talk yourself into it. Not that I would agree with it right now. You could talk yourself into it and go, well, we're in a better situation than we were when we brought in DeShone Kizer and wasted that second-round pick. Put a quarterback with a lot of questions and a lot of things that he would have to work with him on and with a team that had a lot of things that they had to work on. It's a recipe for disaster. That's why, like, if people are talking about, hey, you know what, maybe you could take Jalen Milroe on Friday. Well, if you keep your veteran team, maybe you could, even though, good God, everybody's talking about how bad that situation is. Bobby and Willowick. Bobby, hello.
Hey, how are you?
Bobby, who's making the decisions now?
Listen, we need to go after offensive linemen.
No, wait a minute. I'll get to that in a second. Who do you think's making the decisions?
It's definitely the head coach, my belief, and the coaches he puts underneath him. Okay. Not the owner.
All right.
The owner.
Would that make you feel better? Would that make you feel better about the future of this franchise?
Listen, this is my opinion about this.
Okay.
It's all opinion, okay?
That's fine.
Offensive linemen, defensive linemen. Defense wins championships. We got, listen, Deshaun Watson came in. Everyone thought he was going to change everything. He's not going to change everything. The guy didn't play for 2 years. So what we have to do now, we have to swallow the mistake we made. We're going to have to put him back out there. We don't go after any outstanding quarterback in college football because right now there isn't any. So there's none that takes your breath away, and you guys have to admit that. You could say Sanders is excellent in college, but there's a different level when you get to the NFL.
Yeah.
So what we need to do, let's focus on our offensive line. Let's focus on our defense. Let's put a defense in there. Listen, you can't lose a game if you don't let them score.
Bobby, I got a different question here. All right, yeah. Let me ask you this, and I got to let you go. Do you have confidence in Andrew Berry?
No. Okay. Not at all.
All right. Bobby, I want to answer that when we come back. 216-474-0092. I'm going to play psychiatrist here for just a second when we come back.